Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Inside the Hall of Fame, I'm Booker T, six-time world champ, two-time Hall of Famer. Got my man Brad Gilmore here with me, as always, coming to you from ESPN 975-925, giving it to the people because it's all about the people here inside the Hall of Fame. Getting your champagne wishes and caviar dreams, man. I've been on a whirlwind tour, but guess what? I feel good. I feel real good. And you know what? Only I can feel this good coming off of a let me lay it out for you.
Lay it out, boy.
I left Houston, went to London, took a trip from London to Manchester, you know, being a couple of days. I went from Manchester to Frankfurt, Frankfurt to Houston, Houston to Dallas, Dallas to Orlando, Orlando to Houston, and boom, here I am, ready to do the show. Boom, that's what I'm talking about. If you can do that, you still got it. You still got it.
Makes you shed a tear to hear that schedule. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, man.
Yeah.
Non-stop.
But I feel good, man. I feel good. I mean, to kick it off, for the love of wrestling over in the UK, got a chance to hang out with. What?
Oh, we'll get into it in a second.
Well, I got a chance to hang out with some of the boys, you know, which was real, real cool. DDP, Big Kevin Nash, the Dudley Boys, Santino Marella. You know, it was all AEW guys in the house, Adam Cole, Britt Baker. You know, I got a chance to hang out. Well, you know, what's cool is Britt Baker, she's cool. She's cool people. I like Britt Baker. You know, and who else was there? Jungle Boy,
Jack Perry.
Jack Perry, you know what I mean? The Barbarian was there as well. Barbarian was the first guy to get me and my brother backstage at a WWF event. And I'm still so appreciative to that guy, still to this day, man. I got a chance to see Demolition. Demolition was there as well. Back in the day, Barry Darso, he was a member of Demolition. And in Houston, his name was Barry Darso. And then he had a match against Nikolai Volkov. And he told Nikolai Volkov, you say you got Russian missiles? Well, I got American missiles. Right here, pal. Right here. And he had to have a match with Nikolai Volkov. And after Barry Darso had the match with Nikolai Volkov, his name was What was it? Crusher Crew Chef.
They made him a Russian.
They made him a Russian. And every time I see him, every time I see Barry Darso, I say, I got American missiles right here, pal. And I've been saying that to him for 30 years, man. And that's what's so cool about being on those trips, man, being able to, you know, reminisce with the boys. You know, it's like a big fraternity. So those days, man, they never get old. I appreciate it.
Yeah, two follow-ups to that. First one was, it was cool to see the picture floating around of, you know, the WCW representing all the former WCW champions, you, Big Kevin Nash, Goldberg, Big Show, Paul White, and Diamond Dallas Page all in one photo. And to think about, that was the nucleus of WCW. And what was cool was the three guys, honestly, like if you go back and you look at WCW and you say, who are three homegrown stars they really had in that run? The three stars would be Diamond Dallas Page, Goldberg, and Booker T, right?
Yeah.
And it was just cool to see all of y'all in one photo together, you know, around the WCW championship. But I want to follow up. The Barbarian let y'all into a WWF show? What was the purpose of that? How'd that come about?
He could just see my brother and I was, you know, two young, ambitious guys that were trying to get into business. And we were in the school at that time, and, you know, but it was just something about him. He was like, you know, come on back, guys, you know, and he just treated us like we were, you know, one of the boys, like we were part of the family before we ever got in. He was the first one to ever do that. And to this day, I really don't know why, but he always treated my brother and I really, really cool every time he saw us. And I always appreciated the Barbarian for giving us that experience. That was the first time I actually was at the, where Lakewood Church is now, used to be called the Summit. And I went in and I got shit, Hogan and all the guys that was at a table and stuff. They were playing cards. And the Ultimate Warrior, he had his own locker room and he had all his warrior gimmicks on the wall and stuff. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. You know, so it was one of those type of moments. A young guy getting a chance to, you know, feel that experience before you ever had a chance to have that experience, saying, man, one day I might be in this locker room, you know, doing, you know, the same thing with these guys, you know. So it was really, really cool. Yeah.
Well, because for people who don't know, that's sometimes how guys got into the business back then, is you knew somebody who was, you know, signed to WWF or WCW, and then they invite you to the show and you hope that somebody, you know, either set, you know, calls you for maybe an extra work or a match or something like that, right? I mean, that's how the Hardy Boys got into WWF, just showing up and being extras.
Yeah.
Enhancement guys.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about. I mean, even at Monday Night Raw, I got a chance to, you know, Edge Stone, you know, Rocket, you know, Zach Mason, mm-hmm. you know, all those guys were, you know, playing that role. And I was like, man, you know, it's so cool to see my boys, you know, playing that role once upon a time, getting the rub like I got once upon a time, but they got paid for it. I didn't get paid to go ahead and get in the back or anything like that. But nah, man, it was so cool to see, you know, Barbarian. Actually, Warlord, he was over there too, man. Warlord, man, he was literally the biggest. I mean, back in the WWF back then, the Warlord was the biggest wrestler in the locker room, man. He looked like one of those big cows. That's how much beef he had on him. That's how much muscle he had packed on his frame, man. It was like, man, I don't know if I could hang with these. That's why I really thought wrestling for me was so unattainable as a young kid, because all those guys, man, they were giants, man. They were giants in the business. And now it's a whole lot different. You know, guys aren't as big, and you know. A lot of regular guys now think, man, I might have a chance of getting in the business. Back then, man, it was so hard watching those big guys and wondering, man, am I ever going to get a shot? You know what I mean? But, man, I did it somehow.
Yeah, you did. Well, Book, there's a lot to talk about on the show today. Of course, we have fallout from the WWE draft that's been going down. You were a part of the draft. The new season of Most Wanted Treasures is out. I want to talk to you about that. And also, NXT went down last night. And there's a lot that happened in the show, but there's one clip that went viral on social media, and it didn't have anything to do that we saw that anything to do with what we saw on the on-air show. Do you know what?
No, I don't know what it was. What
you
was?
Have no idea.
I don't know. I've been asleep all day.
So there's been two things on my timeline all day today. One of them was
it something I did?
it was definitely something you did. So there's two things that were all over my timeline today. One was Jessica Alba courtside at the Knicks game looking incredible, right? Everyone was talking about how incredible Jessica Alba looks. I'm like, no shocker there. The other one, it was all over my timeline, was this video taken by a fan inside the Performance Center that has amassed 300,000 views and counting of Booker T while Indy Hartwell is relinquishing the championship, ordering DoorDash. Looking through all the options. So I just wanted to talk to you about ordering DoorDash during a live television broadcast last night.
Look, it was the end of the show. The show was over. That had nothing to do with me. I knew I was going to be exiting the building shortly after that. I wanted my meal hot and ready to go when I got there. It's a problem with that. It's a damn shame, man. People, man.
Inquiring minds want to know, though, what did you end up ordering?
I got a chicken parm. Chicken parmesan.
From?
From Fridays.
You didn't see this video?
I did see that video. I didn't know it went viral.
Viral. Viral. 300,000 views and counting. Look, man,
I had nothing to do. I mean, good for Indy Hartwell. You know, I made sure I got the last note in that I had to say, you know, which was, you know, when a man loves a woman. You know, it's a beautiful thing. That's all I need to say in that segment. The camera wasn't on me, you know, but yeah, I get it. People, you got to watch yourself at all times, man. But that was my bad.
Are you mad at the fan for taping you?
Yeah, you know, a little bit you know, a little bit, you know, but that's on me. That's on me. I got to be on my P's and Q's. But no doubt, I was trying to make sure I get my meal ready and hot because I'm going to be out of there, bro. I had a long day. You know how long it had been since I had American food? Okay. That right there in itself should give me the right to do what the hell I wanted to do at that moment in time. But we got to take a break, guys. Stick around. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
I am the Rocket Josiah John. I'm training at Reality of Wrestling. I've wanted to be a wrestler since I was a little kid, since watching it with my dad for the first time and seeing guys like Booker T wrestle. That's when I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I just had to take that leap, take that drive, and chase some dreams. The greatest thing about Reality Wrestling is all the knowledge that's here. From all the trainers, Brian Davison, Brian Key, I am the Rocket. Yeah. One day, Booker T just call me Rocket.
And I got to give him a cool name, man. Rocket is just something that stuck out with me. And I think that's something that's going to stick with him for a long time. He had Rocket on his shirt. I don't know if you noticed that, but he's definitely he's falling into it, man. And he's really buying into what this thing really, truly is. And if he could just keep his mind on point and stay focused, he definitely could do something in his business.
Like, I've been doing really well training here, just coming as much as I can, come early to work out before the actual training. We have like a whole gym for people to work out. What would I say to somebody that's on the fence about joining Reality Wrestling? I would just tell you to just take the leap, because everybody here is going to take care of you and help you get to where you need to be. You can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, guys. I don't know, Brad, where you want to start, man? Like I say, the draft did go down over these last couple of weeks. And I tell you, man, AEW got hit. I'm sorry, not AEW. I'm tripping. NXT got hit hard, man. NXT got hit hard.
It did.
And some of my favorite left, and they're moving on to bigger and better things, which, congratulations. I'm glad to see them move on to the next level because, it's like, you know, guys like J.D. McDonough. I didn't know J.D. McDonough had put that much time into the business. I really didn't. I was listening to him talk just earlier today, and I think he said 21 years.
Wow.
That he's put in this business, and said around 16 mark, he just didn't think he was going to get a shot, but he just kept pushing and kept pushing and boom. And now NXT has led him now to the main roster. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. It was crazy. I think I might've been ordering DoorDash again, you know, at the end of JD McDonald's match. Right. Because I was looking down and I let it do. I love him. I was looking down and I was doing something. I might have been messing with my notes or something, but I was totally unaware of my surroundings. And next thing you know, somebody came this close to me and they gave me like the biggest kiss right here on the jaw, right? And I look up and it's JD McDonough. Thanks, man. And I was like, wow, that's really, really cool because it's man love. He appreciated the way I treated him. You know, his time in NXT, always pushing for that guy. I was always, you know, trying to make sure that it was some spotlight on JD McDonough because I always thought this dude's his next level. He's a star. He really is. Give him a shot. And for him to come to me and do that, with, you know, on his exit, you know, it was awesome. You know what I mean? Grayson Waller, he's another guy who came to me, man. He thanked me for, you know, the time in NXT. And for me, I just, you know, it's my job to, you know, like pump those guys up and give them the rub, you know, Pretty Deadly, Zoe, same thing. I'm so glad to see these guys put that work in and get a shot because I was once upon a time that kid who was putting the work in and somebody gave me an opportunity and I cashed in and I became the person I am today. And now all of those guys, man, all of those guys got that same chance to go out there and do that. So I'm excited, but there again, it's kind of like bittersweet because I was so in tune to having guys like Pretty Deadly, so in tune to having, you know, JD McDonough on the roster on a weekly because they made me feel alive when they came out and did work. But I tell you what, you know what they say about the show, man, show must go on. And last night, NXT, the guys came out there and they took it to another level. I'm at the same time, and so I see the next guys that's going to be coming up. It's just a matter of, you know, who's going to step into that spotlight.
And that was what I was about to say. You know, when one does leave, it opens up an opportunity for another, and there are going to be a lot of people who I know, because NXT, man, there's so many talent down there that you don't even see them all on the show, right? So yeah. When you have, you know, five or six that leave, it's great. It's great to be able to open those opportunities for other people. Grayson Waller, I expect massive things from on the main roster. If given the opportunity, and the same for all of them. Indy Hartwell, it's got to be an interesting time for her in her career, right? She wins the NXT Championship, Women's Championship at Stand and Deliver, then in her first defense gets injured, right? Pretty significant injury, and then the following week you get drafted to Raw. And then you have to, the next night, she was drafted to Raw or SmackDown? Raw, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next night, you have to relinquish your championship that you worked so many months, years to get. You got to leave it laying there and not kind of go out probably the way you wanted to, you know, passing it off or what have you. It's a really interesting time for her.
That's going to be an interesting time for all these guys, actually, because, you know, it's true that these guys are now swimming with the big fish. Now the spotlight is going to be totally on these guys. They're going to have to go out there and perform in the ring as well as out of the ring. They're mentally going to have to be prepared every week because the machine now, oh my God, man, it picks up. Be careful what you wish for because now you are in that storm. You're in that vortex and it's not going to stop until it's over. Seriously. So I hope those guys are ready for what they're getting ready to embark upon because it's going to be the part is not over, man. It's really getting ready to get interesting for me. I loved it. One thing about, you know, the business being young, it enables you to actually, you know, push yourself further than you ever thought you can go, and it's one thing that all these guys got in their favor. They're young, they're hungry, they're ready for this moment, and I'm just ready to see who's going to seize that moment more than anything because, like you say, when, you know, one door closes, another opens. You know, for me, when the Radicals left WCW, that door opened for me, man. I say, man, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to cash in right now. And that's exactly what I did. So definitely opportunity knocks, and we're going to see who's going to answer.
Well, you know, the draft did a lot of things. It also solidified, you know, which champions are going to be on what brand. We saw a switch of, well, you know, two of the main titles, right? Bianca Belair is going to be over there on SmackDown, Rhea Ripley on Raw. You saw Austin Theory, the United States champion, taking that title to SmackDown now. Gunther is going to be on Raw with the Intercontinental Championship. I guess for you, you got to you and Charmel got to read a couple of draft picks out on the show on Monday. What did you think of, what, aside from the NXT, was there one that stuck out to you? Like, man, this is going to be a great opportunity now that we have this brand split for this person. Because I have one that stuck out to me.
Now, you might have to tell me who might sticks out in your mind, just because I'm so in tune to NXT right now, man.
I get it.
It's hard for me to be in tune to, you know, every show and, you know, what's going on and who's going to be significant in the draft, you know, because of, you know, it's just hard. Only thing I was thinking about who we were going to be losing in NXT because, man, those guys, you know, have built something in NXT from a perspective toward their work. It's almost like WCW. It's not about the promos or the skits or anything like that. It was about the wrestling. And those guys went out there and did it at a very high level. I was just wondering who we were going to lose. So now I know that. Now it's just time for me to regroup. But go ahead. Give me a pick.
I think, because we've talked about him a lot on this show, I think what the draft benefits from the most, or who benefits from it, is Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, 100%. He went out to the show on Monday, had the segment with Paul Heyman. I think that they are really setting him up for this World Heavyweight Championship run. And the more I think about who the first champion should be, Seth, to me, is the obvious guy to be the guy, right? Because you want that title to do a few things, right? You want the first person to win it to do a few things. One, you want them to legitimize a new championship. And what better way than having a guy who's been a marquee guy for the last several years in Seth Rollins? Just the name value alone, Seth freaking Rollins World Heavyweight Championship, that's going to lend that title credibility in the fans' mind. But the other thing that I think is going to do is who can go out there and put on matches better than Seth Rollins? There are very few people on that roster who can go out and tell better stories than this guy. And if you want someone who's going to defend the championship frequently and put on those five-star classics, Seth's the guy. And now that Roman's over on his own show, you got Cody and Brock embroiled in a storyline, so they're kind of out of the picture for the moment. It really puts the path right there forward for Seth freaking Rollins to turn that show back into Monday Night Rollins and it be about him. And I think that he would be the best one to do it. So I think he benefits from the most.
I mean, I've said that, you know, before, as far as, you know, Seth Rollins' talent, he's a major player. I mean, to put the title on Seth, it's definitely not a wrong move or anything like that. Of course, there are other guys that could be, you know, in the conversation as well, but to say, you know, it's a wrong move to put the title on Seth Rollins. And the reason I say that, because Seth has been the guy who has been, he's been a soldier, dog. He's been a soldier in this war. And he haven't been on social media talking about it. First of all, he haven't been crying about it, you know, not having the ball, you know what I mean? I think everything Seth has done over these last couple of years has been very constructive as far as his character building. Little bitty things, man. It's like the wind. You can feel it. You can't touch it. You know it's there. That's what Seth Rollins has been building up for this whole these last couple of years. Him not having a championship has not seemed to have phased his his star power at all. You know what I mean? His character in these stupid outfits have been
Yo, he was dressed like a 19th century English woman on Monday.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And he pulled it off though, somehow.
No. That's wrestling. Yeah, for Seth to say, man, look here, man, I'm finna have me some fun. You know, in the meantime, and the ball shift, ball come. You gonna get the ball. It's gonna come this way, and then it's gonna come this way. If you're on the court long enough, the ball is gonna come your way. You just got to make sure you hit the shot when it does. So I think Perfect timing for Seth Rollins to be in the perfect position to get the ball, to make that shot, and take this thing to the next level. We got to take a break, guys. Stick around. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, guys. We're just kicking it here inside the Hall of Fame, talking about the draft went down, WWE draft went down, a lot of guys, a lot of shake up in the house. Guys getting moved around. For me, when the my final draft in the WWE, I got traded. I got traded from Raw to SmackDown, and I was a little hot about that too, man. I was really ticked off about it. I was like, wait a minute, how am I not the number one draft pick? I said, okay, I'm gonna be like one of those guys like Tom Brady. I'm just put me in the game. I'm waiting on somebody to get hurt. I'm gonna win by attrition. But when I get in the game, trust me, you go see Hall of Fame stats going forward. And that's exactly what happened. I took the SmackDown world. I took the SmackDown kingdom, and I made it my own, and I did it like no other. Trust me, and trust me, that's what someone is going to have to do. Someone is going to have to step up and make this moment their own.
So I will say this too, because the chat is hitting me up about saying that Seth Rollins pulled off this look on Monday Night Show. They say he was wearing lingerie. Now, I don't know if y'all ever been with a woman before who had on lingerie. That wasn't what Seth Rollins was wearing. I don't know what your girls put on for you, but that wasn't that red thing. You know what I'm talking about, bro? That was not it. Come on, man.
But Seth, he makes it work. Only he can pull that off. Nobody else can pull that off. You know, Pretty Deadly might can pull it off. They're coming over. Of course, they definitely flamboyant, Devin, their kids. But for Seth, to actually step outside of his comfort zone, to actually be able to do something where people can, you know, talk about it from a perspective that's none wrestling related at all, other than, man, this dude is really entertaining me. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, for sure, man. We got several super chats that we should get to. Sure. Real quick, you know, we're going to have a shorter show today for our YouTube audience, ESPN audience. What's up, y'all? We always appreciate y'all. Our first one of the day, though, is... DJ 1491, we got to know what you got on DoorDash. We've already covered this.
I told you, man, I got chicken parm, you know, with some shrimp on the side with a little Jack Daniels barbecue sauce. I made sure they brought the Frank's Red Hot to go on it as well. And I had a little cocktail. But guys, like I say, that was my second meal back in the country. I had Cracker Barrel earlier. And I had the meatloaf, since you guys want to know what I'm eating. I had the meatloaf, and it was off the chain too, man. It was so good. I don't know why the cows are different here in the States than they are in the UK. It's crazy.
They just are, man.
The meat is totally different, man. The meat, well, I had some great Italian food in the UK.
I can see that. They're close to Italy over there.
You know what I mean? But that food, man, I mean, the beef, the chicken, it is, I don't know, you can't keep it down. I might have lost 8 pounds, you know what I mean? But I was just glad to get back home, and trust me, that DoorDash was right on the money.
You know what they say about London, right? Like, what is it? Nine months of rain and 3 months of bad weather, right? Just don't have a great day over there.
Hey, that's true too, man. I mean, we landed, it was, you know, the sun peaked out for a second. From that point on, it was just miserable. And it's been like that going to the UK every year for the last 30 years.
Well, we love the people in the UK. Y'all are great people over there.
People are great. People are great.
Let me ask you about one thing on DoorDash real quick, because I have one issue with DoorDash, and I'm a user. I like DoorDash. I think it's great. I don't like how you have to tip them before they give you the food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because
it
comes up and you got to choose how much you want to tip this person. Well, if this person comes and it's quick and it's hot and they got everything that I asked for right, I'm going to tip them more than the guy who I got yesterday who called me and said, "Hey, man, I can't deliver your food because my car overheated," right? I can't tip that guy the same that I tipped the other one.
I don't like this pre-tip stuff.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a little hot about, you know, just say, for instance, you have the Uber Reserve, you know what I mean? Yeah. And then they cancel on you. Seems like they should have to pay you the money that ride would have cost it.
I agree.
You know, maybe we need to put, talk to Congress about that. See if they can make a bill or something.
You know, they're just so efficient over there. I'm sure they'll jump right on it.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just throwing that out there. Maybe we can make it happen. Yeah. Charmelle, she got ripped off a few times, man, with that Uber Reserve, you know, and then they don't show up and whatnot. And then I got to get up, you know, and take it to the airport. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, I should be getting paid for this. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
Well, here's our next super chat.
Super chat
from Jason Marone. From Monday Night Raw to NXT to A&E, it's all about the people. Gotta let you know how much we love you, Book. Live forever.
Hey, man. What's crazy, man? I don't know how these young guys do it today, but I always had a measuring stick. As far as if my stuff was going to be good that night, it's almost like a comedian telling his jokes in the back, you know, to somebody, you know, to a little private audience, you know. And for me, I lost my train of thought there for a second. What are we talking about?
We're talking about it being all about the people.
No, not that. Not that. Forget about it.
It doesn't matter. We'll go to the next one.
Super chat.
Eric Lamar says, "No bread, no water, just meat."
No bread, no water, just meat. I love that saying, man.
I have you watch Gunther versus Ilya Dragunov. I heard HBK call it one of the greatest matches he's ever seen. Yeah. And also thoughts on Obafemi.
Oh, man, the report card is still out on Obafemi. But Gunther, Ilya Dragunov, I did get a chance to see that match. I'm the type that I'm always looking for, you know, matchups. And I did not think Gunther and Ilya Dragunov was a great matchup. But when you go and watch that match, you go, wait a minute, this is something different. This kid, Dragunov, he may not be the biggest guy, but he's one of those guys that can match up with anybody from, you know, no matter what their size is, just because of his heart, man, his determination, his will, his never-say-die attitude. He's willing to go out there and just throw all caution to the wind every single time, and that's what I like about Dragunov. He's another guy that could have got drafted, and he could have made a huge difference on the main roster, but he's another guy that I want to see in NXT for just a little bit longer, but that match was an incredible match.
You know, the thing about wrestling, too, is, you know, the greatest wrestling match probably happened one day in Des Moines, Iowa, at our house show in Hershey, Pennsylvania, something that we'll never, ever get to see. And there's so many great matches that I know I haven't seen. You know, I haven't gone back and watched all these things or seen Ilya Dragunov and Gunther, but I know how great those guys are individually, so I can only imagine that they made fireworks together. But yeah, I mean,
when you look at a big man, small man match,
yeah,
you don't look at it like that. When you watch this match, you go, man, it was highly competitive. And that, you know, that goes to a lot of the credit, you know, even though Dragunov is, he's good at what he does, but a lot of the credit got to go to Gunther in that situation, because when you're a big guy, you got to know how to make a smaller guy really look good. And it's not, you know, how many moves he does. It's what moves he does to actually get that big guy to start rocking. And I can see, you know, someone like Gunther, because he's a student of the game. This dude is, I said Gunther is, he may be, I'm hoping he becomes that first, you know, international, you know, world champion, because he's got all the tools. He's got everything you want to hate as far as, you know, that ultimate bad guy. You know what I mean? And if anybody can pull it off, it's going to be that dude. So I'm hoping Gunther get that shot, because he's smart. He's smart.
Yeah, he's great, man. I remember watching at WrestleMania this year, you know, the three Europeans go down there and tear it up at WrestleMania. Yeah.
And also, just think about it for a second with Gunther. Do you even think about Gunther, you know, when he first came in and the way you see him now?
No. I think of them as two different. Well, you know, there is Gunther, who's like what we see now. And then there was, like, you know, chubby Walter.
Walter. Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, this Gunther here, do you believe him?
1,000%.
Exactly my point. You know, and so many people in the beginning was like, man, why does he have to change and this and that, whatnot? That's what WWE is all about. It's about change. It's about, you know, re-gearing. It's about revamping. It's about taking it to the next level. And this Gunther right here, this is the world champion. This dude is a world champion right now. And I just want to see him get his flowers.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And we got another one here. I think we'll have time for Cali Toenail. What's all this free agent stuff? I understand Brock, but people like Dolph and Omos, who and how is it decided who gets a home and who's a drifter and what's better? I think that's a hard question to answer, really. I mean, I don't know if you have an answer for a book.
You know, I mean, someone like Brock, he's such
makes
a
sense.
Well, no, someone like Brock, he's such a, you know, mega star. Of course, he could be moved around, and you can use him on both shows. Both shows could do very well having someone like a Brock Lesnar. Then you look at someone like Omos. Omos is a guy, you know, he's still green. Omos, he still need reps. And Omos may not have enough guys big enough on one show just to work with all the time. So him rotating from one show to the other show might be beneficial as far as his learning curve. That's what I'm thinking about as far as Omos go. But I know we got to take a break, guys. Stick around. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
My name is Nathan Wasser, and I'm from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I came down here to Reality of Wrestling to improve my training and get myself more experience learning from the absolute best. It's intense. It's hard. You got to leave your ego at the door and come in with an open mind. The way they do stuff here is the next level. But if you do that, you'll end up bettering yourself in the end, and you'll improve, and you'll be able to work anywhere.
Nathan, he's an unbelievably awesome student. I'll tell you why, right? For a few reasons. Number one, the man packed up all the way from the Great White North to move down here to the U.S. to train because he wanted to learn from one of the best. But what's even more impressive, on top of the fact that he takes care of his body, he works hard, is the fact that he was trained by a very reputable trainer and yet still comes down here humble, hungry, ready to work and ready to learn, and not coming in here acting like he knows everything or that he's too rigid in his ways.
Booker's knowledge will help you get to whatever goals you want to do if you want to be a big star in this industry. My end goal is to be in WWE. Coming down here to Reality of Wrestling, I feel is the best opportunity for me to get there, so I'm going to do whatever it takes. I can promise you, when you come to Reality of Wrestling, it will change your life. You will not regret it.
Can you dig it, sucker?
You are listening to the Hall of Fame. Here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Shub, welcome back inside the Hall of Fame. Guy just chopping it up, answering a few super chats. We got any more super chats, man?
Yes, we do. We do. And then I also want to talk a little bit about Backlash that's coming up this weekend, the premium live event from Puerto Rico.
Bad Bunny's going to be there. Bad Bunny's going to be there.
Bad Bunny is going to be there. And I'm not going to, you know what? Up until up until last night, I thought that he had a great chance of walking out there and getting a victory in his hometown. And then last night, some pictures came out, and I don't think that he's going to win anymore.
Well,
you know, the Met Gala went down the other day, which is a big celebrity event, and Bad Bunny was there. And do you know who he's now kind of shacking up with? Do you know who his significant other is now?
Kim Kardashian.
Close. Kendall Jenner, one of the Kardashian clan. And we know what happens with athletes in the Kardashian curse.
Yeah.
You know, it's never a good thing.
He might break the curse.
He breaks the curse. You know, I would love it because I love Bad Bunny. And you know what? Kendall Jenner, you know, she's a model, right? She's on the Biscotti list.
Yeah.
So good for him. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But we'll get to that in a minute. We have.
Give us some Roni, brother. Oh, yeah.
Give us some Roni, brother. Callie Toenail says, not sure if it was Corey Graves who said it on a podcast, but will this title be looked upon as less than the Undisputed because Roman wasn't beat for it? I think we talked about this last week, maybe, Book, when this title was introduced, the World Heavyweight Championship. Do you think that it's inherently less valuable because Roman Reigns wasn't beaten for the title?
I don't look at it that way.
Or do I?
I just can't, you know, find myself looking at the title being a secondary title or anything like that because nobody beat Roman Reigns. I think the story with Roman Reigns is set in stone for Roman to get to a mark. I think pulling the trigger and separating the championships and making, you know, one brand, one for the other, I think that's good, you know, for everybody. I do think that the guy who gets that championship, it's going to be up to him to, you know, really, really put some work in and make that championship really mean what they want it to mean. Yeah. I think it's got some work to do just because it's a new title being introduced, but I don't look at it any less than having the other championship. For me, if I was to win the World Heavyweight Championship, if I was to win that big gold belt, I will feel like I was on top of the world, and I will feel like I was at the top of the food chain. You know why? Because it says the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
That's what it says. It doesn't say the Universal Champion. It doesn't say the WWE Champion. It says the World Heavyweight Champion. And that right there holds a whole lot of weight with me. I don't know about with you, but for me, the world is big enough.
I'm with you. I know a lot of people are calling this the silver medal or the bronze medal in WWE. I just couldn't disagree with that more. And the value of a championship doesn't come from the name or the design. It comes from the guys who wear it, right? Yeah. The guy makes the title. The title doesn't make the guy.
That's exactly what I mean. I mean, whoever get it, they're going to have to go out. And then again, it's going to be, you know, that's going to be the question. Who's going to get it? And that's what's going to start.
Yes. And to go back to it, like when you won the WCW championship, a lot of people can look at that as that was what cemented Booker as a top guy in the company. Right. But for us who were watching at the time, I think of it a little differently. I think it was Booker T reestablishing value in the WCW World Championship. Because we all knew at the time you were the only guy who it made sense to put it on. And for every second that WCW championship wasn't around your waist, it was becoming less valuable by the day in the eyes of the fans. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as much as it helped legitimize you as a single star, you also in turn re-legitimized the WCW championship. And I think the same thing about whoever wins this title, yes, they will now have the title of world champion, world heavyweight champion. But it's just as much on them to make that title feel like a world championship than it is the other way around.
You know, like I say, the guys, the people that's, you know, saying that this is a secondary championship, they've never been, in that position where, you know, they were bestowed upon them the title of champion, world champion. That right there for a young kid in this business is something that he dreams of forever. You know what I mean? That's been that lifelong thing that he's been wanting, has become the world champion. You know, and to become the WWE champion, to become the Universal champion, that's all gravy as well. But to become the world heavyweight champion in this business has always been the pinnacle. So for me, whoever get it is going to be a celebratory moment. And whoever get it, they're going to have to put some work in to really establish that championship as the world heavyweight championship.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that design, I still say, is one of my favorite championship designs, maybe ever, of what that WWE title looks like. World heavyweight title. We have another one here from Eric Lamar.
Super Chat.
Not going to lie, Brad, you kind of look like Austin Romero. I don't know who the hell that is. Book, who's Austin Romero? Do you know who Austin Romero is?
No.
I have no idea who that is. Book, who's your top five in NXT now? Mine are Melo, Braun, Dragunov, Dijak, and Gacy.
I don't know, man. I'm going to have to post that on Twitter, man. Right now, I can, you know, formulate that thought right now. Who's my fave five right now? I know Wesley is definitely in there. I know Dragunov
is
definitely in there as well. Melo is in there. Who's the other two?
Tiffany Stratton.
Put her in there, brother. She definitely got a wing somewhere in there. As well as who's going to be that? Who's going to be number five? Who's going to be number five?
Melo?
I said
Trick. Mello. Oh, you said Melo.
No, it's not going to be Trick. It's not going to be Melo. It's probably going to be, I don't know. I'll let you know before the end of the show.
Okay. And it also says, is Dijad gone? I think they mean Dyad.
Dijak is still there.
Yeah, Dijak, but I think the Dyad, who was a part of Schism, I think that they might be.
It's the Dyad gone. As of right now, the Dyad was there on Tuesday night.
Okay.
So maybe they are still there. We don't know. I know it's been some stuff online as far as those guys may be leaving, may not. I don't know. But as of right now, the Dyad is still with NXT.
Okay, and I've been corrected. Apparently, Austin Romero is the real name of Mike Rome, the announcer.
Okay, all right.
A little bit. Here's our next one. This is Big Brizo, who says, only because I watched it as my throwback of the day, does anything come to mind about that 2001 match versus The Rock? I guess that's the SummerSlam match.
No, you always say you
don't remember a whole lot about it.
Like I said, I don't remember a whole lot about the match because I was trying to remember everything about the match.
Right.
The Rock was very meticulous as far as the way he did business. It was the first time I ever had to, you know, go out and perform like that. So I had a lot on my mind, as well as I was working with the Golden Child. I was working with the Golden Goose. Like I had to make sure I go out and protect this guy at the same time, you know. So my mind was not thinking about, you know, what I was going to remember about the match, you know, this many years later. My mind was thinking about, let me go out here and see if I could pull this off tonight. And, you know, we'll worry about whatever comes else tomorrow. But, I don't remember a whole lot about those matches. The Rock, you know, he always, you know, put me over as far as making sure I was, you know, on time, I was doing my job. But as far as memories, matches had to make me feel a certain way inside for me to actually have remembered them, not just any ordinary match.
Yeah, I mean, I remember we've talked about it a lot now. The Rock remembers him very, very fondly, the matches that y'all had together, and especially the SummerSlam.
No, I remember some of the matches we had. I mean, some of them was fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the fun stuff we did, you know, like messing with the crowd, you know, after the show is over, stuff like that. I remember all that kind of stuff. But like I say, working with The Rock in the beginning was a job for me, and the job for me was to go out here and make sure I didn't make any mistakes. It wasn't about going out and having fun working with The Rock. It wasn't about, man, I'm in the ring with The Rock and I'm going to go out. It wasn't about that at all. It was about going out there and doing business. And that's why I'm still here, because it's always been about business.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left of the show. We have to give a couple plugs. First off, the season premiere of Most Wanted Treasures was awesome. It was Austin episode. Me and my wife watched the whole thing. We really enjoyed the show. And tonight you're going to be on Pawn Stars. When people are listening to this right now, if you're listening on the airwaves, you can still have time to check it out. You're going to be on Pawn Stars with some Booker T boots that have come on the market. And we're going to close out with this super chat.
Super chat
from Virgil Dawkins. I just watched the NWO documentary on A&E. Eric Bischoff said, near towards the end of the WCW, the lines were blurred and everything was real. Can you explain what he means?
A lot of cocaine.
I think what he probably is saying is like, in my opinion, what I think he's probably saying is like,
no, I'm just playing, man.
The lines between boss and not boss.
No, it was real as it possibly be at that time. You know, I mean, the party, it was real. That part was real too. But I think the storylines, the characters, the players. Literally, I mean, the NWO was as real as it possibly. When you saw those guys coming out having fun and laughing and partying it up, that was real, man. That was going straight to the bar after that. They was going to be up all night, and they was getting ready to do it the next night. Oh man, it was craziness. It was a madhouse. It was Animal House at that time. But that's what the people was driven from. They really wanted to be a part of that NWO. Feel they wanted to be able to, you know, just let it all hang out, just let their hair down and do whatever they want to do, beat up everybody there. That's what it was, bro. It was so real, man. At that time, and for me to be a part of it, I must say that was the best time in professional wrestling. It'll never be like that ever again. It was the wild, wild west, and what a time to be in the business.
Gotta love it, BT. Gotta love it.
Gotta get out of here, man. We gotta get out of here, guys. I want to thank you guys for sticking around inside the Hall of Fame, getting your champagne, wishes, caviar, dreams, all the super chatters, man. We appreciate you guys. Bradley, as always, man, thanks for the heavy lifting. But right now, man, I gotta get some rest, man. I gotta get some rest. It's been a long week. And I just want to say peace. I'm out of here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.